All right, let's go for a journey this morning real quick from the Word of God, as I will talk to you about what I call aligning your earth with heaven. Aligning your earth with heaven. The issue about heaven and earth, or the disparity between heaven and earth, is not a resource issue. It's not a lack issue. It's an alignment issue. When you see earth not looking like heaven, it is not because heaven does not have enough resources to turn the desert into a fruitful field. It is just because there is no alignment. And I believe that all throughout this night course, God will be reshaping us. He'll be aligning us. He'll be correcting us. He'll be bringing us back into alignment. So this morning, I want to talk about what I call aligning your earth with heaven. Aligning your earth with heaven. Matthew chapter 6. I want to read from verse 9 to 13 in the Passion Translation, because I like the way it covers some of the items in that scripture. Matthew chapter 6, from verse 9 downwards. Matthew chapter 6, from verse 9, the TPT translation says, pray like this: Our Father dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our life turns. Manifest your kingdom realm and cause every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is fulfilled in heaven. So heaven doesn't have problem. It's earth that has problem. It's earth that needs the alignment. Heaven is autopilot. It happens without issues. But earth needs to align. Verse 11 says, we acknowledge you as our provider for all we need each day. Forgive us the wrongs we have done to us, as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Rescue us every time we face tribulation, and set us free from evil. For you are the King who rules with power and glory forever and ever. Amen. This scripture is already showing us that heaven has stuff. Heaven has resources. There is a position of heaven. There are things in the heavenly realms, but it is not automatic that those things are here on the earthly realms. In fact, if you understand the scripture, you will understand the reason why many things are happening or many things are not happening. Sometimes when people are pointing fingers at God, the side of God is complete. The side of God is accurate. The side of God has everything. It is the receiving side sometimes that doesn't have what you need to have. You know, in the early days of communication, and even now it still happens a little bit, when there is a sending side, there is a receiving side. And sometimes what is sent from the sending side does not all end up at the receiving side. You know, emails are better now. I remember in the very early days of email, and very early, may not be as early can be, because maybe I also came into this old tech space after tech has evolved. But in the early days of email, it is possible for every part of your email not to land. Some of you may still even notice it if you have funny email addresses or funny email client or whatever, that it will tell you that it is still downloading the remaining content, because the remaining content is not there. And if you go to some interesting countries in the world, that happens a lot. I still went somewhere. I just want to keep my face straight, because people start guessing. But I still went somewhere, and many of the things were not delivering. You know, some people will send you a text or send you messages. It will not land when it should land. Now, in those kind of situation, the problem is not where it's coming from. It is where it's going to. So in this scripture we saw this morning, Jesus is saying that you need to understand that there needs to be alignment between heaven and earth. If you want your earth to look like heaven, you need to understand what heaven looks like and what heaven is. You need to understand the atmosphere of heaven. You need to understand how things are done in heaven. And you need to now know how to replicate such on earth. You will understand that heaven is a place of influence, and heaven wants that influence to be upon earth. Heaven is influential. Heaven wants to influence. God wants to rule, and God wants to reign. God wants to allow what is happening in heaven to affect what is happening on earth. It's almost as if God wants to allow Sunday to affect every other day. Do you know that one of the challenges that God has on earth today is that there are so many people that have heaven in them but have not allowed that heaven to manifest outside of them. There are so many people, the way they do God and they do church is that church is an event on a particular day, and that event does not affect every other day. But that's not what God wants. God wants it that he wants that the event of Sunday should affect Monday even up to Saturday. There are many people that you and I will be able to influence if the atmosphere, if the influence of heaven that we receive in places like this, we take it to every day, this world will be a better place. You know, some people, there's all kinds of people now that have all kinds of relationship with the church. And some people would say things like, we no longer believe what we used to believe in. We no longer want to stand with what we used to stand with. And most of the time, it is because of a lack of alignment of the people that you show heaven. It is because somehow heaven has not been well represented. Heaven has not been well dispensed or shown. And so God is giving a bad rep. Or the church is giving a bad reputation because heaven is not, or earth is not looking like heaven. Now, there are a few things I need to say about heaven. And usually when people start to hear heaven, they begin to think of finality. They begin to think, why are you talking about heaven? Let's first do earth. You see, it is lack, it's ignorance that usually causes people to think like that. The more, if there was anything you need to do, you need to be conversant from where your citizenship is primarily a domicile. Because the understanding and the knowledge of where you have citizenship, especially where your citizenship has, where you have this better citizenship. Some people understand the concept of dual citizenship. People that are Americans here and have other citizenship. You understand that many of the time, especially when things get rough or things are not in a very good place, you want them to know that, excuse me, I'm an American citizen. Because you know that in some of those places, being an American citizen is the fear of so many things. You know, because once you tell them that you're an American citizen, everybody will sit up because they know that America is going to come for you. America is going to come and save you. You know, even if you are the only one in that country, America will come for you. That is how you and I should think about heaven. That heaven is a superior government, is a superior system, is a superior power, and thinking and talking about heaven is not disadvantage. It's not even some escapist mentality. We want to just leave this earth. We are just thinking about heaven. No, it's our advantage. The more we talk about it, the more we keep our focus on that, the more the influence and the reality there will come on us. All right? So there are a few things let me say about heaven real quick here. The first thing is that, and this is the very popular one, is that heaven is a place. Or it's a country. Heaven is a country. It is a place. It's a physical place. You know, and some of the times you need to say some of these elementary basic things in 2024. Because some people have said there is no place like heaven. How can a loving God eventually take some people to one place that is different from every other place? How can a loving country called the United States of America have a place called correctional facility that is different from where people normally live? You know, America is the land of the free. But why is it that some people are not free in the land of the free? Because in every country, there are consequences to actions. All right? So heaven is a place. And don't let the love of God make you think that heaven has been abrogated. And so what God wants to do now is that there will be no heaven, there will be no hell. Hell is a place. Heaven is a place. There are people that are citizens of that place. If you are not a citizen of heaven on earth, you cannot be a citizen of heaven when you leave earth. You know, the other day I was talking about the fact that if you don't rest in peace on earth, any rest in peace that people are telling you after you have left, they are just using their words to console themselves. It has nothing to do with you, because you have to rest in peace on earth, or live in peace so that you can rest in peace. All right. So heaven is a place, and people have citizenship of heaven. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, Philippians chapter 3 and 20, the Bible says, your citizenship is in heaven. You have a citizenship of heaven. Heaven requires you to have a citizenship for you to enjoy the rights and privileges from heaven. The fact that heaven is a place does not mean that everybody that knows that is a place will enjoy the benefits that come from that place. The enjoyment of the benefit that come from heaven as a place has to happen by citizenship. You have to be a citizen of that country. You have to have accepted. You have to have naturalized. In the words of Jesus to Nicodemus, you have to have been born of the water and of the spirit. You have to have been born from above. There needs to be a time where you allow this mortal body to experience immortality by the acceptance of the terms and condition of how to be part of that country. And that acceptance, the Bible speaking in John chapter 1 and 12, John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, as to many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. If you read Romans chapter 10, if you start reading from verse 5, the Bible says that nobody should say that who is going to go to heaven to bring down God. It says the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. It says that if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. In other words, to become a member of the citizen, to become a member of the country of heaven, to become a citizen of the country of heaven, you need to understand that there needs to be a time that you have to confess with your mouth and you have to believe in your heart. Some people that have gone through nationalization processes here, and I see some faces in this room that it happened to you last year, early this year, and we're excited for you. And by the way, it's going to happen to more people in Jesus' name. If you are looking for the citizenship of the United States, receive it in the name of Jesus. They will tell you to come and naturalize, right? And the naturalization will not be something that you just say, you know, I like America now, I'm just American. No, you have to come and speak, right? You have to come and take an oath. You have to come and pledge allegiance, so to say, to the United States. Similarly, you, to be part of this cities, this country, you have to pledge allegiance to the Lamb. You have to understand that this country is a country that is a place, and you have to pledge allegiance to that place. And the allegiance is not just once and for all. You have to keep your allegiance. You have to stay. You have to keep your focus on that country. Because some people think, once I come and I tell Jesus, Lord Jesus, I give you my life, and immediately I give him, I take it back and I go away. It doesn't work like that. You have to still live the life. Just like in a regular country, you have, there are things that are expected of you to do in that country. So heaven is a place. But that's not only the thing about heaven. Heaven is not just a place. This part is very important as we go into NICOS 2024. Heaven is also the presence. Heaven is not just the place. Heaven is also the presence. The presence of God himself. Everywhere that presence finds manifestation, heaven has been brought there. God is everywhere, but God is not manifestedly present everywhere. For example, God sees what's going on in hell, but you know that it's not in hell the way it's in heaven. So his manifest presence is not there. So anytime we can bring forth his manifest presence, we have brought heaven there. So when we are saying, let it be on earth as it is in heaven, we are not necessarily only looking at the place, we are also looking at the presence. We are looking at how do we bring the presence of God to bear even in places. And Don't think that this presence of God to be in places is a new idea or a new ideology. When God created man, his whole plan was that Eden was a small prototype, a model, and that Eden will now be carried small by small all over the earth. And that Eden will be, it will be such that God will be bringing heaven to Eden, or God will be bringing his presence, because the Bible says in the cool of the day, God will come to visit the man that he had created. So what was God doing? God was practicing already Matthew chapter 6, because you see, God already has a plan, and he has been doing his plan from a long time. So his plan is not just that he's just reacting to what is happening now. No, when they were asking him, teach us to pray, Jesus was showing them what the Father has always had, and the Father has always wanted heaven to influence earth. And how does he want that influence to happen? It's not just so that you know that heaven is a place. You also need to understand the presence dimension of heaven. The presence dimension of heaven. In fact, the understanding of the presence dimension of heaven will change many things about your life. The reason why so many people are not able to maximize this life that we have in God is that they don't understand that we can carry presence around. You can move into places and you can bring a presence there. Now, several years ago, I listened to a man of God, and he was preaching, and he made this, they had this kit that they did like a drama. And in that drama, everybody that enters a room, it was like a cloud was on their head. And his whole idea was, every time you go into somewhere, you bring something there. You bring a presence. You bring some people, the presence around them is rancor. If they come into a place that was unified, before they leave that place, everybody will be fighting themselves. They will first of all start by arguing, and then there'll be fight. Some people, when they get into a place, if people love themselves, people will not love themselves from that. Why? Because there is a presence. There is something that they are carrying about. And this morning, I want you to understand that heaven is also that kind of presence that people can carry about. You can show up at work on Sunday, on Monday morning, and you can bring something into that place. You can go to your family house, and places that you have been to before, and something will come into that place that is tangible. People can experience. People can be part of. You can bring atmosphere. So heaven is not just a place. Heaven is a presence. Heaven also speaks of the presence of God. And that presence of God is something that can be revealed and unfolded from level to level. That presence of God is something that God can make ooze out of your life, ooze out of your business. It's something that God can make to be dispensed out of your life. And my prayer for you, even in this season of NICOS 2024, is that that presence will find expression in your life in the name of Jesus. Now, when it comes to this presence, it is the interactions and the relationship we have with this God of the place that makes that presence to be more visible and more real from time to time. The interactions. All of what is going to be happening in NICOS is some level of interaction. Some of the times when you wake up in the morning and you say, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, you are interacting with the person of the place so that the presence from the place will influence even your place. So there is an interaction with the person. Because sometimes when people now begin to hear that heaven is a presence, you may think that now my focus is the presence. No, your focus is the person. The more you find and you go after the presence of the person too will find expression. The more you invest in your interaction in the place of prayer, in your interaction in the place of worship, in your interaction even in the place of fellowship. Because so many people don't understand that there is a dimension of the release of the person of God that happens in the interaction with the fellowship of the believers. Many of us don't understand that when the Bible says we are members of one body, that means that there are dimensions of things that you cannot experience except you have a healthy interaction with the body of Christ. It is not possible for you to just stand alone as a silo, as an entity plucked out of everything, to be able to experience the fullness of God. So that is why coming to church is not just something we do, it's a way of interacting even with the person of the place, so that the presence from the person will find expression even in all the places that we find our life. Can somebody say amen to that? So
we need to align to the place. We need to align to the person. And once we begin to do that, we will find an expression of his presence. Now, one of the books in the scripture that says a lot about heaven as a place and some of the interactions that goes on in heaven is the book of Revelations. Raise your hand if you have read Revelations before. Cover to cover. Okay. If you don't raise your hand, you are fine. You can just read it after now. Amen. Because there's nothing wrong in reading, because sometimes when you read some of those books, it's so cryptic that people think, it's not for us. No, read it. That's the beginning. Start to read, and then from reading, you will begin to learn more. So don't stay away from Revelation. Revelation is good. But Revelation says a lot about heaven, because, you know, if you start reading from verse 1 of chapter 1 of Revelations, Jesus showed up to John and said, I'm going to show you revelations of things to come. And it's a good place to go, because sometimes the best part of a book is the back of the book. You know, sometimes it's good to read the back of the book or the conclusion of the book, so that when you are reading the other parts of the book, the conclusion will be inside of you to know that this book will end well. So it's good to read the conclusion, because the conclusion is very good. It's in your favor. God eventually wins. Can somebody say amen? So in this book of Revelation, one of the things you see a lot in Revelation is that there's a lot of come. There's a lot of come. So I have come to term that heaven is a place of invitation. And I want you to understand that if we are saying that heaven is going to show up on earth this week, there will be a lot of invitations. Heaven is a place of a lot of comes. You hear come this, come and see. You hear come and hear. You hear come that. You hear come up. Heaven is a place of many comes. If you read Revelations chapter 4, Revelations chapter 4 verse 1, Revelations chapter 4 verse 1, you are going to see that even in that scripture, God was telling, the angel was telling the apostle to come up either. And there are many, many, many other scriptures like that were saying come. Revelations chapter 4 verse 1, it says, I look and behold, the door was opened in heaven. And what did I hear? Come up either. Revelation chapter 6 verse 1, the lamb, and I saw when the lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts says, come and see. Another invitation. Revelation chapter 6 verse 3, Revelation 6, 5, 6, 7, all of it, come and see. This week, I want to tell somebody, you are invited to come and see. You are invited to come and see the wonders of God in your life. You are invited to come and see the wonders of God in your world. In the name of Jesus. So, heaven is a place of comes. It's a place of invitation. There will be invitations extended to you. And if you understand anything about God, God is a very subtle, gentle, if you will use the word, with his invitation. The invitations of God are very, very optional, but if you choose it, they are advantageous. The invitations of God have some characteristics with them that you can choose to take it or leave it. Sometimes they are so subtle, they are so simple, that many people want something more spectacular. The reason why many invitations of God, people don't take it, is because sometimes it does not tickle the fancy of the flesh. Sometimes it does not look like what you want. Sometimes it doesn't look like what you think you should be doing. It may be too simple, but it's an invitation nonetheless. But if you yield and you heed to that invitation, it is into your own advantage. So this week, there will be invitations. There will be a lot of invitation. The first invitation that should come to anybody listening to me this morning is an invitation to experience redemption. An invitation to experience redemption. It was Jesus that was speaking in Revelation 3:20. Revelation 3:20. It says, behold, I stand at the door and I am knocking. I'm knocking at the door of your heart. And I'm asking that if anybody will open this door, I will come in.
Some people will have wondered that if he's the Lord of the, if there's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, why is he standing by the door and why is he knocking? Why can't he not come in? Is he not the one that holds the key of David? Is he not the one that can open any door and no man can shut? Why did he not just barge in and come in? No, no, no. The reason he does not barge in and come in is that when it comes to heaven's influence on earth, there needs to be permission. There needs to be permission. There will be invitation extended to you, but you have to take the invitation. There will be the invitation extended to you and say, come to Jesus. There will be the invitation to you and say, you don't have to live as if there is no existence of the place called heaven. Because listen to me, either sooner or later, many of us are still going to show up in that place. And it is the citizenship you have here on earth that will make you to be able to stand in that place as a citizen of that place. If you have no citizenship secured here on earth, you have no place in that place. So this week, there is an invitation to you. It's an invitation to come and be part of this kingdom. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. You don't have to live life the way you have been living it. Some people say, it's my life. But how well as this is your life thing worked for you? You have been living it anyhow and you have been seeing anyhow things. But now there is an invitation extended to you by the lover of your soul. There is an invitation extended to you by the God of the kingdom. There is an invitation extended to you by the person of the place. My question to you this morning is, will you open the door of your heart? Will you accept the invitation? So because the first invitation that you are going to be hearing and you are invited to, it's an invitation to redemption. It's an invitation to salvation. It's an invitation to allow Jesus to be your savior. Jesus has to first be the savior because before he becomes the Lord. All through this revelation, you could see that Jesus was portrayed differently from the way John saw Jesus when Jesus was here on earth. Jesus was now this lamb. Jesus was now this king. Jesus was now this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus was now this very magnificent, glorious figure in heaven. But you see, the dimension of enjoying Jesus as the Lord that commands things to obey in your life is when you first enjoy him as the savior. You need to allow him to come in. You need to open your heart. I'm going to give an opportunity this morning for you to open your heart to him. Some of you have opened the heart to him before, but somehow you closed it. Oh, it is possible to close it. You can let Jesus in and let him out again. You all know that it is possible to have access and lease to a property. And you can also cease to have access and lease to that property. You know, somehow maybe the lease expired or something happened. The relationship with that building or that property stopped to exist. And some of us, listen to me this morning, as long as it's with you and God, your relationship is not existent again. Because you show up once in a while. When you hear that it's Nichols, that's when you come. But Jesus is saying, look, I want to come into your heart. And I want to make your home heaven. I want to introduce heaven into you. And I want heaven to be a place. I want heaven to be a continuous system that is operational in your life. Because to think about heaven only as a destination, something I will get to, is a mistake. You have to understand that heaven is not just a place that we will get to. It's also a journey that we will go through with now. If you don't have the journey of heaven, you may not end up at the place of heaven. And so what Jesus is saying quickly this morning with the first invitation is that, child of God, I am calling you and I'm asking you to open up your heart. Now, that's not the only invitation in heaven. There are other invitations in heaven. And there's this one that I want you to pay attention to this morning as we begin to look at Nichols 2024. And it is also that heaven is a place where there is an invitation to rewards. Heaven is a place where there is an invitation to rewards. It's not just invitation to salvation or redemption. There is also invitation to reward. Revelations chapter 22 and verse 12. Revelations 22 and verse 12. It says, and behold, I come quickly. It says, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. What is that saying? If you align yourself with me, there are rewards. there are rewards that come from this place. This place is not just a place that just exists and does not understand that the people that pursue, that seek. You remember Jesus saying that in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Pursue the presence, the place of the kingdom, and understand that when you seek this place, there are rewards. There are rewards. And I believe that this week is also an invitation to rewards. There are invitations that is extended to you this week that God is going to be rewarding you. God is going to reward some people for many years of labor, many years of coming to church, many years of serving the Lord, many years of being like Anna. Some of us in this room, we are like Anna. We have been and we have stayed about a matter for so many times, and it feels like, is there God? Is God hearing me? I've come to bring you encouragement, and I've come to say the invitation you have this week is the invitation for reward. The Lord of the harvest, the God of the place, the one that administered the place called heaven, his presence can bring reward. Remember, the Bible says in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy and what? Pleasures or rewards forevermore. All right, so this invitation is also an invitation to reward. So God is calling you. God is inviting you. God is summoning you and is asking you and telling you that you need to come even to a place where there is reward. And this invitation is a summon. It's like a burden. And you and I need to be very expectant and very insistent that we will have an encounter with the things that he has for us on this table. Because what is on the table is not always obtainable unless there is a dimension of coming into that place with some level of expectancy. So God is summoning you, is inviting you. And that invitation is, there is more. There is more. If there is anything you need to understand about this our God, there is always more. You know, as I went through, I read the book of Revelations this week, all through. And as I went through it, I kept seeing that there is more. There is always a come up either thing. There is always come and experience more. Come and see. It's almost as if when you get into the heavenly space, one of the things that begins to be a regular is that we don't get there. There is no arrival there. There is just more. We keep measuring more. We keep having more. The Bible speaking in Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel 47, if you start reading from verse 3 down to verse 5, the Bible was talking about the fact that there were different measures. There was a 1,000 cubits that was measured, and then afterwards, there was another measure. There was another measure until it kept moving, until it kept moving. Do you understand that most of the time, when a measure has been released, there is a temptation for people to come there. There is a temptation for people to wait there. The reason why the dimension of heaven some of us have seen so far is at where it is. It is when we were introduced to that measure, we thought that was all the measure. But I've come to tell you this morning that this is a place, this is a system that releases reward, and there are measures there. We don't come to all of the measure at once, but there are new measures. There are new dimensions. There are new cubits. There are new things to be measured unto you if you will participate even in the place. And so what should your response be? What should your response be even this week? One of the responses you should have this week, we'll find it in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 6 to 7. Shabbara Galalea. Is the atmosphere of Jesus. Do you know that song? Atmosphere of Jesus. Atmosphere of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 6 to 7. In the atmosphere of Jesus. Atmosphere of Jesus. Atmosphere of Jesus. Heaven is the atmosphere of Jesus. And in that atmosphere, there are levels. There are realms. We don't get to all of it. That's why there's no day of this event that you should miss. Because there are levels. When you think you have reached one level, there's another level. Why is it that when it comes to when we eventually end up in the place of heaven, we will be having to relate with that dimension? And of course, there's a new earth and all of that kind of experience that is going to come. But we are going to do it eternally, you know? Why? We will not be bored. Some people may ask. No, you will not be bored, because there will be more to develop, to discover. There is more. There are more dimensions. There are more heights. There are more depths. Like scripture say, the deep will just be calling on to the deep. You will move to a dimension and they will say, come up hither. You will move to another dimension and they will say, come up hither. We will be learning again and again. Every day will be an unfolding of something new.
So what should your response be? Your response should be a very big yes. Like the Bible says in Hebrews 10 verse 6. It says, in burnt offering and sacrifices, as sacrifices for sin, you have no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. This week I have come, God. This week I am available. Because the invitation that you get from heaven, your answer should be, yes, an unqualified yes, an interesting and ever I am available to experience, to get into the dimensions that you have for me. Yes, that should be your response. Behold, I have come in the volume of the book that is written about me to do your will. I have come this week. I have come to do what is written for me. There are dimensions to this thing that you have for me. I have come for it. What I had yesterday is not enough. One of the things that can be plague anybody on earth is this complacency spirit. Where we think we have gotten there, we have arrived. If you look through Revelation, there are different churches that Jesus was addressing. One of the churches, he said, look, I have something against you. And the thing I have against you is that you think you are rich, but you are poor. You think you are there, but you are not there. The challenge sometimes Jesus still has with 2024 church is that there's a lot of assumption. There's a lot of we think we are there. There's a lot of we are the gym. We are the what is the dead there? There's nothing like that. There are levels in God. There are levels in God. I have not seen it all. I have not experienced it all. I have not even been here before. Oh, as it is in heaven. I know all the scriptures about as it. That is a prerequisite for you not enjoying the benefit of the invitation. Because there is an invitation on the ground. But your answer should be, I have come. On Monday, I have come. And when you come on Tuesday, you come on Tuesday as if you didn't come on Monday. That is the way to come. You come with a very hungry heart. You come as if you have never come before. I have come again as if I have never come before. Those kind of people get something from the Lord. Men and women who don't come to God on a familiar term. And they come to God like colleagues. There are people, the way they sit, their posture, their experience, everything about them shows that to them, this God is a familiar God. And you won't experience the best from there, God. To experience something in this conference, even the people that you have heard speak before, come newly. And say, I have come in the volume of the book that is written. There is a new dimension that I didn't see yesterday. In Michael's 2022, there is a dimension I did not see. I have come again. I have come. I have come newly. I have come with humility. I have come with a hungry heart. I have come very expectant. I want you to fill my cup. I want you to touch me. I have come in the volume of the book that is written about me. So in Nikos 2024, there will be invitations. And these invitations will not be forced on you. It will be very subtle. One of them I'm making this morning. I'm saying, come back to Jesus. There will also be invitation. Come and receive reward. But that reward, he says, my reward is with me. But I'm going to give to everybody that is in alignment. And the alignment systems has to do with the posture to which you come. How did you come? Did you just come just to mark attendance? Or you wanted to come and see and say, is it true? This man I've been seeing on TV, I want to see him in person. Is that all that you came from? That's not what I'm coming for. I have come in the volume. There is something that is written about me. If you read the book of Revelations, one of the things you see is that they open books. Heaven is a place where books are opened. Even if those books were sealed, they are open. I know there is something going to happen this week. There will be books that will be opened. There are chapters that some of you are. You have finished that chapter, but you have not moved to the next chapter. This night, they will open that book. The chapter will be open. But how
How are you going to come? The writer to the Hebrews said, I have come in the volume. I am coming with the awareness that something has been written about me. And I am coming to participate, to be part of that thing. My question to you this morning is this. What has been written about you? Are you interested in it? Are you interested to be a participant or a spectator in your own life? The way some of us come to meetings is as if we want to be a spectator. We want to be watching. Will it happen? Will it not? No, I want to be a player in my own life. I have come to participate. I have come to be a participant. Because there is invitation in heaven. And I will close with this. There is also participation in heaven. Heaven is not just a place of invitations. Heaven is a place of participations. When they ask you to come, they are not expecting you to just say, I'm coming. Like some people from one tribe and parts of the world. When somebody is leaving the place, he says, I'm coming. And that's how some of us do with God. God says, come. He says, I'm coming. And you have left. You have gone somewhere else. You are just leaving. In fact, sometimes you go and meet somebody and say, I'm coming, oh. And that I'm coming is, I'm leaving. You know, I was like, I'll see you soon. And you say, I'm coming. But this week, God is saying, don't say I'm coming. Actually come. Participate. Because if you see, in heaven, like I told you, Revelation says a lot about heaven. One of the things that you see in heaven is that there's invitation, there's participation. And many of that participation, it is everybody that is a citizen there. If they are worshiping, everybody is worshiping. It is not somewhere, worship God for me. You know, some people come to church like that. The worship team come and lead us to worship. They are leading you to worship. It's not like they are doing it for you. No, it's a group sport. It's something that all of us have to do. If you don't do it, you can't get the benefit. The reason they are getting the benefits of heaven is because they participate. So there is speaking in heaven. So in this week, even your speaking must change. Like Colossians chapter 4 verse 6 says, it says your conversation should be seasoned with grace. Your speaking must change. In heaven, there is a lot of speaking. There is a lot of singing. And so in this week, when we come together and participate in this meeting, you need to understand that the invitation is for you to speak. The invitation is also for you to participate even in the singing and the shouting. Heaven is not a quiet place. One of the things you can keep in your hand as you go to today after the service is that heaven is not a quiet place. So if I want to have heaven around my life, I need to keep the right sound. I'm not saying just keep sound. Don't make your life noisy. Keep the right sound. Heaven is not a quiet place, but it's not a noisy place. It's not any sound. It's the right sound. So if I'm going to participate with heaven, there's an invitation. If my participation will be right, one of my participation is there will be the right sound. 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 I was thinking this recently that before the first creation in Acts, in Genesis chapter 1, there was the right sound. There was the right sound. Everything that God was saying was the right sound. When God needed to bring about a new creation called the church, there was also the right sound. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, on the day, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it says the Holy Ghost came. It says like a mighty rushing wind. There was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4. And so this week, to precipitate heaven, to allow heaven, keep the right sound around. Don't keep the wrong sounds around. That is one of the ways to participate. Your participation also, you must align your garment. The garment in Revelation is talking about the robe of righteousness. You must understand and align yourself with the righteousness of the kingdom. First of all, you receive his righteousness in the place of receiving him as your Lord and Savior. But also, you allow that reception of that righteousness to find expression in your life. Because the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8, it says that these guys had the robe of righteousness. Media, have you guys? Okay, good. Thank you. And to her, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the linen is the righteous acts of the saints. I like as they put it here,
righteous acts. Because there's a particular stream flowing in Christendom now that only leaves righteousness to a status. That's not complete. It's a biblical truth that the righteousness we have in Christ is a status. But it's not only a status. It's not only a status. The status informs actions. And that action, the Bible said, is the acts, righteous acts of the saints. Your participation in this thing called heaven is also your actions that are in alignment with the word of God, so that you will have what is called the righteous acts. You can't live anyhow. If you are part of a country, you have to live like the people of that country. If you don't live like the tenets and dictates in countries, they call it constitution. In the kingdom, it's the word of God. You have to live by the word. If you don't live by the word, you are an outlaw. You are somebody that should live in a correctional facility. Even in a free society, you may be kept in a correctional facility. I was looking at one video this week, and the person was telling the policeman that, "Do I have to show you my license? My driver's license?" The guy said, "Yes." He said, "Do I have to? There's no law that says you have to show me." He said, "There's a law that says you have to show me." And before the woman knows, in a free country, and she was like, "I know my rights." They arrested the person that knows her right, put her in a police car. I said, "Well, you go and explain the rest in jail." That was what the police guy was saying. And for me, it was very interesting because this is the United States. You feel like, you know, it's a land of freedom. But even in a land of freedom, there are boundaries. Hear me, child of God. Your invitation into this kingdom will involve your participation. And part of that, your participation, is this: I cannot live anyhow. There is something called heavenly standards. If I am from heaven, I should look like heaven. There are too many people that are from heaven that don't look, smell, talk, sound like heaven. That is why heaven is not influencing their heart. Because heaven will be bringing invitation. Even after you have accepted that invitation, there are still participations. And one of the participations is also your acts. You have to look like you are from above. He that is from above is above all. And he must live like he's from above. You know, my wife and I were discussing about something recently. Well, I think it was yesterday. And she was telling me that, but you know that people that are born into royal family, they have a different training. They cannot do anything. They teach them how to talk. I don't know if some of you have seen some documentary on Queen Elizabeth. From a young age, she cannot sit anyhow. They teach her how to sit. They teach her how to talk. Even, you know that handshake that they are shaking? That some of our presidents, some people don't know what to do, whether to bow or to stand. And people flop it and all of that kind of thing. That thing is choreographed. They've taught them. So they will not shake you too much. You know, they will shake you like the hand is so fragile. Because they've taught them to carry themselves as royalty. And you are from a better kingdom. You are a king. If, you know, in their own, they are just princes. And all of that until, because there's only one king in their kingdom, because the kingdom is not that big. But your kingdom, there are kings. Because the king, the big king over this, your kingdom, is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And is reigning and being king over you, who is a king. So you are a king. You have to carry yourself as a king. Sometimes when people see things that the Bible says don't or do and all that, so you say, "Well, it's for the Old Testament, it's for this, it's for that." If you understand the royalty and the alignment that is necessary in the kingdom, you'll be making those kind of arguments. Because you understand that if you are a citizen of a higher kingdom, there are expectations of you. And the expectations are even bigger and better than the ones on earth here. If royals on earth here have dignity that they try to maintain, what about royals from God? What about royals from above? What about royals from another dimension? What about royals from a kingdom that will never perish? What about royals from God the Father? What about those royals? They should do better. It's not do less. So this morning, this, as it is in heaven, is also calling you into participation. It is asking that you will engage well. So there are actions in heaven. There is singing. There is spontaneous shouting. And there are pronouncements. We are going to make those pronouncements. Some of those pronouncements this evening. Or this morning. Because there are pronouncements. There are pronouncements. You will just hear. When somebody is weeping in heaven, they'll say, "Don't weep again." They will make a pronouncement.
when somebody is worried, who is going to open the book? You hear a pronouncement. The lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. He has prevailed to open the book, and that will change the atmosphere just by the utterance of pronouncement. There will be pronouncement this week. It will look casual, it will look simple, but it will change the atmosphere. It will change something. For example, I decree and declare that in the name of Jesus, everything that are taking you backward is turning around to take you forward in the name of Jesus.
So this morning, aligning our heaven or our earth to the heavens will require this, to honor this invitation. There are invitations this morning for redemption. There are invitations this morning for reward. To experience this alignment, it will mean there will be participation. You won't just say, I'm coming. You will actually come. Can you stand this morning as we respond to this invitation?